It seems like every year there's a new needless holiday tacked on to every day on the calendar. Pick, for example, May the 8th, a day set aside to honor so many things. National Receptionist Day, Reward Yourself Day, Animal Natural Disaster Preparedness Day, School Nurse Day, but also Have a Coke Day, Give Someone a Cupcake Day, Coconut Cream Pie Day, and of course, World Donkey Day, which according to one website is intended to promote learning more about the strong, resilient, friendly, and helpful animal known as the donkey. Some of these may seem silly. Some of them, like National Report Government Contractor Fraud Day, seems incredibly suspicious and specific. But there's one day that, whether you agree on whether the man himself should be celebrated, it's difficult to deny that he was an influential enough artist to have his birthday recognized. Tuco Valio Lakinson was born on May 8th, 1920. But the day, that's Tom of Finland Day. Tom of Finland was the name he went by when he created some of the most iconic, popular, and controversial gay art in the last 100 years. From hung blue-collar workers to thick-ass dick goblin Nazi officers. Welcome back to Respect the Dead, the podcast where we don't.
Let's fucking go! I love Tom of Finland!
Buddy, it's no surprise that everyone celebrated your demise, and now worms are eating your eyes, so don't you worry your rotting head as you sleep in your sodden bed. It's time to respect the dead.
I can't wait. I can't wait. You guys, his house is here in LA, and it's like a gay art museum.
Oh, I love it.
He lived here for like a good chunk of the end of his life. And the house that he lived in is now a queer museum. And they have like people come and live and be docents there. It's so dope. Hi, I'm Hoots.
I'm Kaylin.
Mandy.
Mandy, do you know this bitch?
No, I do not recognize the name at all, but I'm excited.
You will know the art. You will know the art.
You will recognize the art.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
When you see it, you'll know the art.
Okay, so I'm about to send, I don't know if we'll be able to put these on on Instagram.
I don't know. It depends on which ones you post, like if they have actual nudity in them or not.
Yeah, I didn't include any actual nudity in these.
So they'll probably be fine.
Okay. So there's one. I sent one to the group chat.
Oh, yes! Okay. I am familiar with his art.
Yes. You know this bitch. You know him. You know her.
As soon as I saw that dick outline, I thought to myself, yeah, that looks familiar.
That is a classic, iconic dick print.
Yep. Uh-huh. And those
leather
butts.
Daddies.
Look at that butt.
Yeah.
That is a butt.
Leather daddies were a specialty of his.
So Tom was not named Tom, but I'm going to be calling him Tom because that's what he was referred to for like the majority of his life. That's his stage mm-hmm. name. That's his like Lana Del Rey, his Ethel Kane. Mm-hmm. Just like we don't go around calling Lana Lizzie Grant, I'm going to call him Tom of Finland. And as you may have guessed, he is from Finland.
Based.
What or where that is, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. It's where my ancestors are from, Kaylin's. You know we're based. It's me and Tom.
Oh my God. What a cute little people.
Yeah.
They have some things to answer for in the 1940s, I will say.
We don't talk about the 1940s. We don't talk about the Second World War.
So like as a child, he was boring. So I'm not going to talk about that. But when he was 19, he moved to Helsinki to study advertising. And when he wasn't working or schooling, he was drawing men. Big, beefy, veiny, bulging dick and ass gay men, mm-hmm. all based on like the laborers he'd seen growing up. So that, you know, that little perv was looking out his window at like the construction workers across the street mm-hmm. and just panting, like fogging that window up. If they had windows in the 1900s, I don't know.
In Finland, I think they did.
Awesome. In their windmills.
It was cold.
Gotcha. So he kept these images hidden because they were less like art to be displayed and more something that he used to like spill a couple loads mm-hmm. over.
A little wank bang. Like,
they were for him. Yeah. They were his porn and he made them, which is like based. I love like a DIY queen.
Yeah.
But he was conscripted into the Finnish army in 1940 and he had to destroy everything that he had before then. He served as an anti-aircraft officer holding the rank of second lieutenant. There was a little bit of him being kind of a Nazi.
Oh,
not.
Yeah. They were on the Axis powers.
Not ideologically, but like in practice, which I think is just as bad.
Yeah.
That was basically all of Finland. All of Finland was like, we don't love the Nazis, but we hate the Russians more. So, and we don't really care about the Holocaust. So,
yeah, no, that was basically what I got from this. I watched a documentary on him that came out like 2017 or something like that. Not a documentary, but like a biopic. And in like one of the opening scenes, they show him like murdering some person who was like there to fight Nazis and like being like super chill with killing him and then like stroking his dead face. Like, oh, he's so beautiful. And I'm like,
what an interesting way
to portray someone who's going to be the protagonist of your film.
What an interesting introduction to this character. And you're telling me this isn't a movie about Jeffrey Dahmer
or some other serial killer.
Gays are so weird about murdering people, I swear. So he later attributed his fetishistic interest in uniformed men, which was like most of his work, to encounters with men in army uniform, especially the Nazis that were serving in Finland at the time.
Those Hugo Boss suits were really cute.
Yeah. That was what he said later in life when people were like, bro, what's with all the drawings of like sexy Nazis with huge, like swanging dicks? He was like, this is an exact quote. In my drawings, I have no political statements to make, no ideology. I am thinking only about the picture itself. The whole Nazi philosophy, the racism, and all that is hateful to me. But of course, I drew them anyway. They have the sexiest uniforms.
Okay, so he deserves to be on this fucking podcast.
Yes, he does. Jesus.
Yeah, he's like the white gays on Twitter who will like see like IDF soldiers like doing like TikTok dances and be like, okay, but hear me out.
Can I say something and you guys not get mad at me?
Like, no.
I know that they're doing a bit of a genocide, but look at that footwork.
Like, so Buddy was only in the army for 5 years, after which he returned to school and he was like, he wasn't like a military person, right? He was like a gay little artist, but if you are like conscripted, you show up mostly. So during that period, his art was like less like vulgar. He gave it like a more like romantic, softer side and less of the uniforms. So I think he had like had enough for a little bit. Maybe like that period was a little traumatizing, as I'm sure war would be. I don't think he was actually like stroking the faces of like people that he murdered.
No, that feels like a little bit sensationalized, right? Like,
yeah. And I'm going to send an image of that time. This one probably can't go on Instagram. But see, they're not wearing uniforms. They are engaging in sex, but...
Okay.
Group sex. And, okay, so whether or not we post this on Instagram, it is a picture of a man who is shaped like the typical Tom of Finland man. Like, he's very muscular and large.
Tiny little waist, huge shoulders.
Tiny little waist. Yeah. They're all shaped like Superman. He's surrounded by a group of other men who are kind of like holding him still while one of them like goes down on him. And like, it is a scene that is both erotic and also like is a little bit rapey, like in a like a rape fantasy kind of way. And that is a theme through a lot of his work. A lot of it is like men holding other men down or tying other men down. And it's like a very like romanticized version of like sexual assault. And that is like what makes his work one of the things that makes his work like so intriguing is that like it's this like very weirdly romanticized version of sexual violence.
Well, especially there's a lot of like themes of like authority and power. Yes. And
getting raped by cops or raping cops.
Yeah. There's two ways to look at it. One is which this is like the defense that I hear of it, which is that he's taking these traditionally authoritarian, masculine, violent men and making them gay. Mm-hmm. And that is supposed to be like a subversion of the tropes. Mm. But like taking a prison guard fucking a prisoner, which in all circumstances is rape.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because of the extreme power imbalance.
Yep.
That's not turning authority and power on its head for the sake of art.
Yeah.
And he even says that. He's like, this isn't like art.
It's porn.
This is fun. Yeah. This is sex. This is porn. This is sexuality. And this is what turned him on.
I will say what makes that like this image that you've just sent us, like what makes this a scene, even though like it is, it kind of like takes the shape of a gangbang. The image of the guy who is like having the things done to him at the center of the image, he's blushing.
Yeah.
And that's what like takes it from something that is assault to something that is like romanticized. Like he's blushing, like he's enjoying it. Like this is what I think makes his art really interesting. It's like and subversive in like a way that is like not just like a drawing of a rape. It's very complicated. And I think it's something that can only come from like a queer person.
Directly after being in the army, his work was less intense. There was less like power play.
Because he was traumatized.
Yeah, less like uniform fetishization. But they were still like the main people he drew were sailors. Bikers were a huge thing, like the leather community. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Leather daddies.
Lumberjacks, construction workers.
All of the YMCA.
Yeah. Well, a lot of that is like a lot of the tropes that we have can be attributed to him and his art, including the like the gay beefcake. Mm-hmm. Like before that, gay men were portrayed as like
effeminate, right?
Effete, like skinny feminine,
little boys,
wispy little murderers. Like, with pencil thin mustaches,
little Norman Bateses.
Yeah. And he wanted to turn that on its head, but he did it in a way where he was like, we're not all faggots like them. So it's like a
honestly,
little
iconic. Horrible. But also
he's
like
a pick me, but like in like a way that would disgust any heterosexual person. Like the thing that it was still based in a way.
Yeah.
It was not, it's not that it's not problematic.
It was still subversive.
Yeah, exactly. Like it was illegal.
Yeah.
Like what he was doing was illegal. Drawing gay sex was illegal. Mm-hmm. Which is why like when he submitted things, do you know Physique Pictorial? Mm-mm. It's one of the first like gay porn magazines that was portrayed as like pick this up for like tips on becoming a bodybuilder. And then it would just be like mostly naked, right, like shredded dudes because it was illegal to, right, to sell
gay porn.
Yeah.
But it was like, these dicks are out for fitness enthusiasts.
Yes.
They need to see what their muscles look like in comparison to their dicks.
Look how shredded this dick is. So
you too can do these exercises to get this shredded and have your ab muscles look this big next to your dick muscle.
Yeah. And the first one he sent in, he submitted them in 1956, but in 1957, the spring issue, he went under the pseudonym Tom. And in the winter issue later that year, Bob Meiser coined the term Tom of Finland. Hmm. So that's his like origin story. And I am going to send you, there is the spring 1957 Physique Pictorial of two men.
They're loggers.
Like surfing on logs?
They're loggers.
Is that a real thing that happened?
That is actually a thing. That's how they like got the logs down the
downstream,
down the river. In,
oh my
in
god,
the,
that's so smart.
In Maine, actually, that's a big part of logging history is like the Kennebec River. They would like stand on certain parts on these like little islands to push the logs down. But then you could also like walk on the logs if you were careful. I mean, it was very dangerous. You could die. But like, yeah.
Look at the guy in the back's thighs versus his knees.
They're huge.
Like the proportions of all of these men are like wrong in impossible. So many ways.
They look like Superman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is like a thing.
I think he's wearing those pants that like old timey directors would wear. Like that are like a little bit poofy.
Jockeys. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he looks like a centaur.
Like, yeah. Like, I think some of that is his pants, but then yeah. All of them have impossible proportions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the shoulder to hip ratio is like insane.
Yeah. Yeah. Like a 10 inch waist.
It's a little bit like looking at an AI image of a person.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like looking at a male version of Barbie. Like Ken yeah. is not a male version of Barbie. Finland characters are a male version of Barbie. Like literally a 10-inch waist and like a 40-inch shoulder.
Yeah.
Yeah. The post-World War II era saw the rise of biker culture as rejecting the reorganization and normalization of life after the war.
That's dope.
With its conformist, settled lifestyle.
That's based as fuck.
And that's what he... Yeah, that's what he was into. Like it was supposed to be like both marginal and oppositional. And it gave like post-war gay men like a sort of stylized masculinity that was still like rebellious and dangerous gave them like a sense of power. Because like a biker versus like a theater kid, like one of these people is going to get messed with for being gay. And one of them is like very less often going to be.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say not, but you're not going to walk up to a bunch of bikers and be like, hey, faggot.
Yeah. Like, you're not going to try to hate crime like a bike gang.
Yeah. You're like following them drunk at night, be like, are you fucking faggots? That's like all like 30 of them turn around.
That's how you get your brains kicked out of your ears.
Yeah. So this is like obviously in contrast to the stereotypes that were like prevailing then of gay men as like effeminate sissies as seen in like vaudeville and like films going back to like the first years of the industry. And Tom was influenced by images of bikers as well as artwork from other artists that he cited as his precursors disseminated to gay readership through like other like homoerotic magazines. And I'm going to send you two things that were done by his like the people he was stanning, his inspirations, and you can see the like through line between them. Like they're very muscular, they're very erotic, and they're taking like the first one is a man holding a bow and then a bunch of arrows. The arrows are covering his dick. The second one is a cowboy who's like fucking shredded and wearing like skinny little jeans.
Yeah.
Like they're all Tom definitely always took it farther. Like his
these guys don't have dick imprints in their like, jeans.
Which is like disappointing.
Yeah.
I will say.
But these are like very homoerotic, like but also like very as is the case with Tom's like stuff, like very like beautiful pieces of art. Like you can see all of the like sinews and like veins in the, like these are just like sketches, right?
Yeah.
You can see all the sinews and veins. You can see like like the way that the denim is like laying on the cowman's jeans is like very natural. Like they are like beautiful pieces of art. In addition to being like horny and homoerotic.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one with the bow and arrows, it's very pinup style, but with a guy.
Yeah.
Is kind of fun. Like if you've ever looked at like old pinup posters, it has like almost playful, like, oh, I'm just happening to cover my genitals with these bows. Like
And like
it's fun. I like
if
it.
If this had been a Tom of Finland like drawing, he would have been having to hold a whole lot more arrows.
Yeah.
Oh, he would have been holding a quiver. So like the drawings of like bikers and leather men like capitalized on the leather slash like denim culture because that was supposed to be at the time, counterculture that suggested they were like untamed, self-empowered, very like in touch with their bodies,
right?
Which, like, in contrast with the mainstream, repressed, sad, like making themselves smaller. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of gay men, I think queer men, who have said that seeing these when they were younger let them know that they were pigeonholed, that they mm-hmm. didn't, that there was more that they could be than what society told them they could. But at the same time, it's like finding out that, like, you can be a muscly white man in America is like only empowering to like a very small amount of the queer community.
It's even empowering, just like, queer in the men. Way that, like, Wonder Woman is empowering to women, in the way that Barbie is empowering to women. Like, but it's a narrow kind of empowerment.
I can definitely see how you got there. But
it's a very narrow view of empowerment. Like, you too can be sexy and enormous and
and have this swinging of a dick.
His style and content in the late 1950s and early 1960s was partly influenced by the U.S. censorship codes that restricted depiction of overt homosexual acts. But his work published in the beefcake genre that became in the 1930s, he mostly did people doing like exercises to get away from it for the magazines specifically. And obviously the primary market was gay men, but because of the conservative and homophobic social culture of the era, they were like, okay, but it's like, it's an exercise magazine for people who love, you know, physiques.
In the way these like made for TV ads would sell you back massagers.
Yeah.
They just happen to be shaped like vibrators.
Total coincidence. I'm sure.
The way poppers are like, wait, poppers are advertised as what, like a contact lens cleaner or something? Don't stick that on anything that's going to your eyes.
They originally it was like VCR head cleaner.
Hilarious.
So at the time, his more like explicit work was all in private commissions. So he was getting to do the stuff he wanted to do, but it wasn't being published. Mm-hmm. And aside from working at his ad agency, he operated a small mail order business sending out reproductions of his work, but it wasn't very profitable, mostly because I don't think most people could afford to be like spending a lot of money on this. We're too scared to spend any money on this.
Of course.
I must say, because I was pretty illegal back then, right? Like,
And it's not like he could really advertise.
Yeah.
And he wasn't using like stamps.com or whatever. Like, he had to go down to the post office with this shit.
Right.
The 1962 case of Manual Enterprises versus the United States Supreme Court ruled that nude male imagery was not inherently obscene. So softcore gay porn magazines and films started featuring fully nude models, some of them hard AF, and they quickly appeared, and all pretense about exercise and fitness was dropped. They were like, phew, we can stop pretending that we need to have like 10 ways to get killer abs and just have like hard, veiny dicks, like swanging on every page.
And that's progress, baby.
Yes.
Gay rights.
Gay rights. But by the end of the 1960s, the market for them pretty much collapsed because people were able to find porn much more easily. So individual magazines were not going to do as well, whereas before they were the only ones willing to risk being in publication. So they got all the business. But then the market was saturated because lots of horny gays. Mm-hmm. And this is when he started publishing more explicit drawings and stylized his figures' fantastical aspects, like really exaggerating
fantastical
things.
Fantastical aspects.
Like, they weren't as beefy before, but I'm going to send you...
They get like, ridiculous what, really fast.
Like, yeah. Like, look at this shit.
Just escalates very quickly.
Like, look at that nipple.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is a big old nipple.
Yeah.
Like, this man's name is Cake.
His peck is the same size as his head.
Yeah. I think it's bigger.
I think his bulge is the same size of his head, too.
Yeah. And he's so shiny and plastic.
Yep. And you know what? We love that.
He's very shiny.
Yeah. But he's a filthy cop at the same time.
Yeah.
We should point out. Is that a cop? What's on his hat?
It looks like... Oh, actually, is that a Nazi?
Oh, it might be a Nazi.
That might be a Nazi. Because it looks like the little bird.
That looks
thing.
Like that little eagle.
Yeah, the eagle.
Maybe it's thing. a little mix of the two. A little cop, a little Nazi.
I mean, fascists kind of all look the same. Anyway.
So by 1973, he's publishing erotic comic books and making inroads to the mainstream art world with exhibitions. So he's quitting his job. He's living on his drawings. He said, since I've quit, I lived in jeans and on my drawings, which I'm like, that's so based, becoming a full-time content creator who like doesn't have to wear a suit to work anymore.
What a cute way of saying it, too.
Right? Lived in jeans and lived on my drawings.
I'm going to say in PJs and on my videos.
Yeah, like I do love that for him.
Braless and thriving.
And by the 1970s, his work started to become more photorealistic, in part because many of his drawings are based on photographs that he directed. So like he would have all the muscle guys come to his place, take the photo, and then he would go in and like redraw it, sketch it, but like making everything bigger, like the muscles, the asses, the dicks, like basically face tuning, but for your swanger.
Yeah. Dick tuning.
Oh, I was going to say face dicking, but I think that's something else.
I think that's just a blowjob.
That's what they do in the images.
Were they just doing the pictures and the drawings, or was there also like other things happening? Like was he fucking the models too? Or?
I assume they, well, maybe not him, but maybe the models fucked each other. He was like, okay. He was okay looking.
I think one of his muses he did have an affair with.
I'm sending you a photo of him and his boyfriend. He's on the right and his little blonde boyfriend's on the left. And they were together until he died. So for like 20 something years.
I think there was one of his muses that he did like that claimed he had sex with him a couple of times. But you know, it was the 70s and they were gay. They probably had sex with everybody they knew.
Yeah, as they should.
As they should. Like, as is their fucking right.
Oh, yeah. Like, that question did not come with any judgment. Fuck whoever you want.
But he did have some muses that he, like, based some of his drawings on. Yeah.
So in 1980, with businessman and friend Dirk Dehner, he co-founded the Tom of Finland Company to preserve the copyright on his art, which was being like widely pirated and used on like by whoever wanted to. Because originally, because you're making illegal art, you can't legally copyright it. You'd be like, can I copyright this? And they're like, can you go to jail forever? And by 1984, the Tom of Finland Foundation was established to collect, preserve, and exhibit homoerotic art, which I love. Setting up just a foundation to be like, look at all this fucking sick gay shit.
And that is what like the Tom House is about. Like if you go to the Tom House, it's like the base of the Tom of Finland Foundation. And they have just like binders upon binders of work that they're like slowly digitizing and they're cataloging. Like it's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm going to send some pictures from the group chat from the Tom House and like almost none of it is his art. It's like other queer people's art.
Oh, so dope.
Yeah. There's like a Himalayan salt torso with a penis. actually, the like little comic is of like the animals is like him when he was a little kid.
That's so funny.
They'll have like artists in residence who will come and like stay there for a while. And like that's what all the like paintings on the walls and on the ceilings are. Like the artists in resident will just like doodle on the walls and they'll let them.
Damn, those are some like photorealistic dicks.
I know. They're dope. I want them in my own house.
If there's one thing gay men can draw.
It's photorealistic dicks.
Yeah.
They're beautiful, though. Like, I would have those. I would have a pattern.
Oh, some of them are uncircumcised.
I would have a pattern of that as like wallpaper, you know?
Oh, 100%.
Oh my God, yes. A little dick room.
I love that they never forget the veins either.
Oh no, these are
they never forget dicks. The veins.
They yeah. are very, very dicks. Veiny. Also, I love in the salt statue picture, you can see there's like another statue like on a thing behind that's like just balls, just big hand balls.
There are dicks and balls everywhere in this house that you go.
I want to go to this museum so bad.
It's so beautiful.
It's amazing. It's based like I... 100% like donate money to the Tom of Finland Foundation because their entire like message is just about like preserving and cataloging queer art of all kinds. And I believe it was technically free. They just wanted like a suggested donation.
Yeah.
So I think we gave them like $100.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, so we're there. And we got like a private tour of the entire place. It was amazing.
Oh, damn. Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
So, like, at the time this was launched in 84, he was already, like, successful. Like, a lot of artists aren't successful in their lifetime.
He was famous. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but he was. His biography was on the bestseller list, and the world's largest art book publisher was reprinting and expanding a monograph of his works. But despite all that, he always said he was most proud of the foundation. And obviously, like as Hoots was just saying, the scope of the organization expanded to erotic works of all types, mm-hmm. sponsored contests, exhibits, and started the groundwork for a museum of erotic art. He died from emphysema in 1991. He was diagnosed in 1988, and the disease made it very difficult for him to draw. So he had to switch from pencil to pastel, mm-hmm. and the emphysema caused a stroke, which is how he passed. So
how old was he?
So he was 71.
Okay. So like a little younger than he probably should have died, but like still lived a nice long life.
Yeah. With his partner, with his foundation.
For a gay man in like the early 90s. Like,
yeah. I was just thinking like, I was kind of worried we're going to get to the 80s and things were about to take a very, like a way worse tragic twist, honestly.
Right.
So he's dead. But I wanted to talk a little bit more about some of the reception to his work and the controversy behind his work and the way that it's like looked at now.
Okay.
We talked about the Nazi uniforms a bit, which he omitted from like all of his recent anthologies whenever he had something published. Mm. He wasn't proud of it. He didn't like displaying that work. He thought it like took away from the message.
That's good at least.
Yeah, a lot of people inferred like some sort of like sympathy or affinity for Nazis or Nazism, which is fair. Like,
yeah.
He disavowed it. He called them fascists and racists.
But he was just horny.
But at the same time, yeah.
And that was what was around.
Yeah, but like, that's like still problematic.
Of course, like, yeah.
Like, yes, it's okay to be a horny little homo, but like the fact that he served alongside them, mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. like that in itself, having witnessed firsthand the atrocities they committed and still being able to fetishize them left a lot of people,
yeah,
sort of thinking like,
of course,
you may not be a Nazi. And you may not be a Nazi sympathizer, but you're definitely a terrible person.
Yeah.
Which is like a very yeah. fair opinion.
Totally fair. Totally fair.
Like, there's so many other people out there, so many other men out there that you can find hot. Do you really need to find Nazis hot? Come on.
You are literally in Finland. Like, you're surrounded yeah. by Scandinavians.
Look around.
Like, well, this is the thing. This is...
The descendants of Vikings are fucking everywhere. Come on.
This is another criticism, is that almost all of the men are white. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All of them are masculine. There are occasionally some black men, mm-hmm. but the hyper masculine, hyper sexualized black man is also a racist stereotype.
Yeah, I was just mm-hmm. thinking that.
And so there's been a lot of conversations about this, where one side will say, but he fetishized literally everyone the same way. There is no difference between the way he drew white men and the way he drew black men. But the intent and how it's perceived and whether or not that plays into racial stereotypes is not,
they're not the same thing.
Yeah. And yeah, you can look at a photo, like, as we know from like current life, you can, a lot of people can look at a photo of a white person and a black person in the exact same situation doing the exact same thing and only take something away from the photo with a black person that they now attribute to all black people that they wouldn't attribute to all white people. Mm-hmm. So it to say like, oh, well, he made them all look the same, it doesn't really address the fact that they weren't treated the same and aren't treated the same.
Yeah.
And it isn't a like racialized caricature of white people. That doesn't exist. That's not like,
yeah,
whether or not he intended it, whether or not he even knew it existed, he definitely played into it. And I think the criticisms of that are completely valid, especially alongside
100%
the like the Superman thing.
Yeah.
Which is a fascist archetype.
It's the idealized version of like the the Aryan is like a blonde Superman. And I know that like even outside of that, like the typical Tom of Finland Adonis has been the subject of a lot of criticism because he is like this impossible ideal.
Yeah.
And I guess in the context of like the early 1950s, like maybe that was a subversive ideal. But as we get into the 60s and the 70s and the 80s, it then just becomes like a very, I don't know, like a kind of like toxic representation of like what a man should look like in the same way that like Barbie was for us. Like, I think there's a lot of comparisons to be made between the Tom of Finland Adonis and Barbie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the men in his depictions have become, and not through like only his influence, but have become the most desired and acceptable way to be a gay man today. So looking back at it now, it isn't subversive at all.
Right.
With hindsight, not subversive, plays into every harmful trope about gay men that comes from within the community.
Right.
And the it's something that people of color, like effeminate, queer men talk about a lot, is being ostracized and looked down upon for not looking like a Tom of Finland portrait.
One of my friends who came with me to the museum is like a bigger queer guy, and like docent was like asking us like what like one of the things we notice about the art was, and the first thing he said is like, everybody's making me feel really self-conscious.
Yeah.
And that was not what the docent was like asking us to notice.
No.
The docent was like, actually I want you to notice that like all the scenes are outside because it's finished and because there's this like you know glorification of nature and the outdoors. But that is the first thing that like a queer man notices. He was like, now I'm suddenly feeling like kind of weird about my own body.
Yeah. When I look at it, I'm like, this is what so many people have in my life expected me to want to look like.
Right.
Whether or not they didn't expect me to being like especially faggy. But I'm supposed to desire that, and I'm supposed to desire that I be that. And when I don't, that's either because of a failure or because of jealousy. So there's a lot there, especially when it comes to people with like air quote, like same sex attraction. There's this mix of like envy and desire that gets really conflated and mixed up.
Right.
And when you...
Do I want to be him or do I want to be with him?
Yeah.
Or both.
Yep.
And if you don't play into that, if you don't... Because like I look at that and I'm like, these are not necessarily the kind of men that I would find personally attractive. Like I would never swipe right on someone that looked like a Tom of Finland model. Like that's not the kind of like I am into all sorts of different people. I don't have like a type when it comes to men really. But I have non-types and that's one of them.
Yeah.
And it's because of there's so much attached to it that maybe they don't have anything to actually do with.
There's baggage.
But like I have baggage surrounding it, and there's a certain amount of work you have to put in to look like this.
A lot of work.
That comes with pride. It's takes over your entire life. Mm-hmm. And that's just not my vibe. If that's what people want to do, if that's like what brings them like joy and gets their like juicy, delicious brain chemicals going, they should do that. Mm-hmm. But if you say that's not for me, the response is always negative. You're either lying or you're jealous, or you're either lying to everyone else or you're lying to yourself, or it's like, well, that's okay, they wouldn't want you anyway.
Right.
So there's a lot associated with Tama Finland's work when you talk to queer men. But almost everyone will say like they're like, that's hot, but like it makes me feel bad. It's like, it's a very interesting juxtaposition.
Well, Hoots, you made the comparison that these drawings are kind of like the quote unquote empowered version of a guy, in the same way that Barbie is an empowered version, quote unquote, of a woman. And my first thought when you said that is like, I have never seen myself in Barbie because I'm a fat woman. I've never looked at Barbie and been like, yeah, that's like for me. So like when I think about the sort of like fat phobia that is in queer culture, unfortunately. And it's a little different for me because like I think with women it's a little bit different in terms of some of the within
different tropes.
I don't want to say it's like exactly the same, but like there can be that weird thing of being attracted to a woman being like, oh, I'm bigger than her. Is that gonna matter to her? Or just like, I don't know, those kind of thoughts that you have being attracted to a woman who is like more conventionally sized or something like that. So like, I think there's this very interesting conversation here about what that looks like in terms of like representation and the pressures that we have now, especially how like, I don't know, there's like some progress we could say has happened in terms of like fat activism and shit like that. But like, there's still a lot of fat phobia. I mean, Jesus Christ, you put a slightly plus sized model on the cover of a magazine and Jordan Peterson loses his goddamn mind on Twitter, right? Like, it's like, there's still so much of that. And I know from hearing from like queer men that no fats, no femmes is like such a common thing to see on like dating apps and stuff like that.
No fats, no femmes,
no Asians.
Yep. Whereas for a lot of women, the replacement might be looking for someone who is healthy, or somebody who is what's the other one? Height width proportional. That's one of my favorites. It's like, fuck off. Like, I hate that one.
What the fuck? I have not heard that.
Height width.
Oh yeah.
Height width proportional. So if I'm 10 feet tall, what can my weight be, babe?
Right.
Like, I was gonna say, like, how are like the vast majority of fat people not still height width proportional? Like, they're not falling over.
They mean BMI. They mean they want you to have an appropriate BMI, even though BMI is like completely debunked.
I know what they mean, but that's a stupid euphemism.
It's that shit. Yeah.
Just say you're fat phobic. Like, I'm just fucking tired of these. I'm tired of these fucking euphemisms. Like,
and this shit is everywhere. Like, there were polyamorous
groups.
Because it's
the last social minority that is still socially acceptable to be hateful towards is fat people.
Oh yeah, 100%. Like, there were polyamorous fucking groups I was in where people would post shit like that, where they would post like, oh yeah, this is my husband and we're da da da. Also, we're looking for our unicorn, which again, its own fucking way is fucked up. But then it's like, and we're looking for someone who is like a healthy mindset and height width proportional. And like, if someone like me commented like, hey, so like, this sounds kind of fat phobic, they'd be like, you get people, either the people themselves that post this shit or people who defend it, who come in to be like, well, that's just their lifestyle. That's just their preference. That's just what they're looking for. Yeah. It's like, honey, those preferences did not come out of nowhere. You weren't born into the void with these ideas. Like,
well, they're also not, that's not a preference either.
No.
A preference is like, I prefer chocolate, but I'll have vanilla.
Right.
Yeah.
Like a hard rule is not a preference. Like, I don't prefer men.
Right. Like, I would prefer to date Charlize Theron, but I'll handle somebody else, I guess. Like, come on.
Well, the it's a preference thing always pissed me off because you hear it a lot from gays about the no fats, no femmes, no Asian thing.
Oh, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, that's not a preference, because that would be like saying like, oh, you prefer men. It's like, no, that is, men are the only people they are attracted to. They will not have sex with anyone else. They will not even look at somebody else. So like a preference is, mm-hmm. is like, I prefer guys who look like slimy podcasters.
Yeah.
But like, that's not the only people that I'm attracted to.
You wouldn't put it in your dating profile if it was a preference. You just swipe.
Exactly.
You
exactly.
swipe left on most of the fats, femmes, and Asians, and then occasionally you'd swipe right on one. But like, if you put it in there as like a hard line, then no, it's
right.
That's not a preference. That's not what that word means.
Right.
And like,
exactly.
Nobody is saying that you need to be attracted to any specific kind of person, or you need to date them, or you need to fuck them, but like, at least be honest about like how you feel. And then at least, like with anything, I think if you find yourself very strongly feeling a certain way about people that goes perfectly along with what society says, at some point I think it's good to just look at it, to just interrogate it.
Yeah, just look at it. That's all you gotta do.
Think about that. Yeah.
Just take a peek.
Think on
it. Just peel back the curtain a little bit.
Yeah. If you don't want to like face your own desires and feelings and biases, like, I think that says something about whether or not you know that it's fucked up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I don't really have a problem like sitting down and thinking about like things that I think I did that were like great and noble.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And like, I mean, Jesus, now people like to use the word boundaries for it because they know that that's like considered like,
we've learned therapy speak.
Yeah, we've, you know.
My boundary is I don't like to be talked to by fat people.
And if you push back, they're like, you're gaslighting me. It's like, fuck off. You don't even know what that word means. But yeah, so that, no, it's an interesting conversation.
We all need to be a little bit more cogent of the fact that, like, none of us grew up in a vacuum.
Actually, my family lived in a vacuum. Thank you very much, you porphobic bitch.
This is
my father, J. Edgar Hoover.
Porphobic hoe.
And my mother, J. Edgar Dyson.
And my brother, Roomba.
Who died in childbirth. Thank you very much. Chickenpox was killer back then. Sorry, yeah. Not a vacuum.
I think it's okay to admit that, like, we've grown up with these biases because we're like, none of us is immune to propaganda, and none of us is immune to the morals of the societies that we grow up in. Mm-hmm. But like, because of that, like, maybe interrogate the way you feel about things, and like, you're not going to change your feelings about things overnight, but maybe just be open.
Yeah.
To some fat, some femmes, some Asians. Maybe just like consider it.
Maybe just
no
like,
fats, femmes, or Asians want
please.
You either after
there's that
seeing
too.
That.
Having said all of this, again, the Tom of Finland Foundation is not only based for like cataloging erotic art and like specifically queer erotic art, but like also has like recognized some of the shortcomings in like Tom's art and has like raised up like the art of people who draw like bears and things and will like show nice. Them when you the organization has no flaws. I love them. They're great. Yeah. And like bears are fucking sexy. Like,
I know. It's ridiculous.
I like a thicker man.
So art critics have mixed views about his work, as not politically, just like the work itself. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. His detailed drawing technique has led to him being described as a master with a pencil, but also his work is described as illustrative, but without expressivity. Like, it is
okay.
Technically.
Yeah, I can see that.
Technically beautiful, but it doesn't say anything. It is
Yeah. There's not like a lot of movement.
It's less art, which is what he said. Like, he's like, he's not, I'm not trying to make
it's porn.
Profound art. I'm trying to make something sexy. Like,
yeah, it's porn.
What the artist is saying is, it's hot. Look at the hot guy. Look.
Yeah.
Look hot.
Like, don't you want to come to this? And the answer is yes.
So there's considerable argument over whether his depiction of Superman is facile and distasteful, or whether there's a deeper complexity in the work which plays with and subverts those stereotypes. We talked about it earlier, and I think that, like, it depends when you're looking at it. I think if you were looking at it when it was being made, there was a lot being subverted. Mm-hmm. And looking at it now, the complete opposite is happening, especially in the, like, more sadomasochistic scenes where everybody has a big smile on their face. And that's how you know nobody's being raped.
Right.
Like, it's like, look, they're clearly enjoying it. It's but if you were to give one of them a pained face, the entire dynamic of it would change. So it is very much bordering, which is the case in a lot of porn, especially in a lot, maybe not especially, but in, I would honestly don't know. I'm just going to speak about gay porn, but there's a lot of that sort of, like, fetishizing heterosexuality and taking that heterosexuality from a man, not making him gay, but, like, convincing him to let you suck his dick or whatever. that's a big part of a lot of gay porn, and a lot of gay and queer men will overtly be like, it's just hotter when a guy is straight. Like, that's my fantasy, a straight guy,
right.
A guy who doesn't actually want me, but, like, is willing to let me do things to him and service him. There's, like, a power play there.
Mm. Yeah. There's, like, a psychosexual thing going on there where, like, I wish I could sleep with all the men who were cool to me in high school.
Yeah. Which, like, yeah, it's still hot. Is it fucked up? Yes, but so is being gay.
It's a deviant sexuality.
And you know what? I don't want to lose that. I think that's beautiful.
Keep the fucked up and gay.
That's what the F in fag stands for. Fucked up and gay. His work has been described as not conversation pieces, but masturbation pieces.
And look at all the conversation we've had about his work. So I think they're wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're wrong. They're both.
They're both. I want to talk about that dick.
You know, that man had never had anybody talk about one of his paintings. He's just so mad.
I know. And he died mad.
The MoMA. Even the Museum of Modern Art in 2006 took in 5 of his drawings, and they're part of, like, the permanent collection.
That's cool.
They're just always there, which I fucking love.
That rocks. Yeah.
I'm going to send you one of them.
Yeah. Again, it's another cop, but it's also a very hot picture.
Yeah. Of a naked man sitting in between a cop's legs, holding onto his boot with his legs wrapped around one of his legs. And the cop is smoking with his head back, fully dressed with, like, rubber leather gloves, big, like, knee high boots. Mm-hmm. Like, the imagery is very provocative. And one of them is very masculine and dominant. And one of them is very
And the masculine
submissive.
Dominant one is the cop. It's like, it is so very, like, fascist-esque.
Yes. It is not subverting the tropes.
Yeah. But also because it is, like, a queering of this, like, fascist imagery. Like,
no cop would be okay with this.
And there is something that does feel subversive about it because of that.
Yeah.
Do I think it's, like, a good critique? No. And I don't think it's meant to be a critique. I think it's just meant to be hot.
Right.
The problem is that there should be a critique.
Yeah, there should be a critique.
And I will say, yeah. like, looking at the detail in the drawing, like, clearly very talented. Like, when you look at, like, yeah. the lines of the fabric mm-hmm. and, like, the shading on the skin, like, in the muscles.
I think this is why having a photograph really helps to capture, yeah. like, yeah. the folds in the clothes. And
yeah, the way, like, the shirt is,
the
like,
veins in the arms.
To open at the buttons. Like, yeah, like, it's,
yeah.
it's very detailed. And it is hot. But, like, also, yeah, it's a cop. Like, fuck that.
Like, yeah, if you yeah. just took the hat off, yeah. I would be, like, so much right, more okay with that.
Get rid of the little fascist imagery there, yeah.
But, it is clear that he wasn't trying to say anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was just trying to, and I think that makes it, like, this would better. Be sexy. Yeah. He's not making political art.
Yeah. The fact that it's not bad politics, it's no politics, makes yeah. it a, like, it's not like the Pepsi commercial with Kendall Jenner or whatever the no. fuck. Like,
people want to make it politics because he's gay.
Yeah. Well, that it's politicized,
people
right?
People want to ascribe politics to, yeah, because he yeah. has a politicized sexuality, yeah. because he is, like, a minority. People are like, this has to have a message.
Yeah.
And he's like, I just think it would be cool if a guy wearing leather topped me.
Yeah.
Right.
That's my message.
And
that's
we were both sexy.
My political alignment is gaped.
Gaped party 2024.
That's the center of the political alignment chart. It's just like a gaping asshole. Like goats.
In that, like, that quadrant thing. Like, yeah. Right in the center.
Yeah. So in September 2014, the Finnish Postal Service published a set of 3 first-class stamps.
They sure did.
Featuring drawings by him, and in association with the stamps released, exhibited some of his correspondence at the Finnish Postal Museum. 2 of the stamps include portions of an illustration of a nude man sitting between the legs of another man dressed as a police officer, which I just showed you. Mm-hmm. The other depicts a nude butt with a man's face included between the thighs. And mm-hmm. I'm going to send you that one now. So it was a stamp sheet.
Yes.
Do you know? So, like, more of the image is on the sheet, and then you pull the stamps off and you get, like, smaller parts.
Right.
Because it's like a collector's item. Mm-hmm. So you can see, like, where the stamps
That's
would be.
Quite a butt.
The yeah. way the face is coming between the legs.
His little face poking between the legs. Yeah.
I love that.
I see you did.
Quite a butt.
He has a butt. Damn.
The stamp set exceeded the expectations of the Postal Service with pre-orders from 178 countries.
Damn.
Making it one of the best-selling stamp sets in history.
So I know these were for collectibles, but could you imagine getting a piece of mail with this little stamp on it?
That would fucking rock.
I can't imagine getting a piece of mail without it now.
Right?
Every time I get a little piece of, like, mail, I'm going to be like, look at this heterosexual, homophobic piece of shit.
Not me writing to CMP, like, every time you send me a bill that doesn't include one of these stamps, it's actually queerphobic. I feel like this is a hate crime to not have this.
There was also a Finnish textiles company that released a series of, like, bed sheets with all of his characters on it.
What?
And I want them so bad. I want to sleep on some Tom of Finland boys so bad.
Oh my god, I need to look that up.
They were, like, limited edition.
Well, I was researching this of buying, like, a book of his art or whatever, but, like, the, like, cop shit really doesn't sit well with me.
Right.
And I just don't want it. I would consider getting, like, one of maybe one of his, like, biker ones.
Right.
Tablecloths, too.
Do you look
eating
at that?
Off of the tablecloth is based.
Oh, my God. This is amazing.
The company is called Finlayson.
Oh, they're bold to bold. That's sweet.
I want them. I would, like, I've already got my dinosaur sheets. I need to have, like, a set of Tom of Finland sheets.
You need grown-up women sheets with gay Tom men fucking Finland on them.
Can you imagine if I have sex with my boyfriend on those Tom of Finland sheets? Like, what a
gay
fucking power
hoops.
Play. What a power play. Inviting a straight man over and being like, get on this bed.
The insecurity that will immediately follow of, like, oh,
yeah,
this
when
is
he
who
sees
you're
the
into.
Dick outline.
Oh, there's a tote just bag like, too. That's nice.
Just in closing,
queer on the go. Sorry.
I think for me, anything that upholds the like white Western muscled masculinity as the ideal, as like the like pinnacle of eroticism, it's always fair to question the artist's ideals.
Totally.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are like, it's just his preference, but this is art. This is something you're putting out into the world. He understood there was an impact. And I think he tried to correct a lot of that later on in his life, setting up the foundation and removing some of his more fucked up earlier drawings.
Yeah.
And I think the best faith interpretation.
And it resonated with people for a reason.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it meant a lot to a lot of people.
Like, and that's worthy of criticism. Like, the fact that that, like, ideal resonated with people is worthy of interrogation. And, like, so people who say it's, like, just his preference, like, are full of shit. Like,
yeah. It's no thoughts, head empty. Like, that's what he liked. And it's, like, never once did they ever go, but why?
He liked these perfect little Aryan supermen. Nothing to interrogate there. And it resonated with the culture for some fucking reason. I guess it's just a lot of people's preference.
So yeah, I think the best faith interpretation, because I've already said the worst one, is just that he found the uniforms hot, which is what he said. But given that he fought alongside the Nazis, despite being conscripted, I think it's fair to question his motivations and his allegiances. And I don't think the people that do so should get this kind of backlash that they do. Because I think that most gay people or most gay men and queer men would not feel represented by his work, either physically or ideologically. And I think that holding him up as like sort of like the pinnacle of gay art does a disservice to all of the other like
gay artists.
More. Yeah. And I think that his foundation is trying to correct that by uplifting and promoting and working with those artists. And I just wanted to end it there that like, yes, there's a lot of stuff wrong with it, but I think that your legacy can sort of change even post death because you set up, he set up the foundation. It's doing amazing things. And I think that just his legacy should also take that into consideration, that the kind of art that for so long was illegal, was considered like depraved or disgusting, is being that those artists today have an opportunity because of him and his work to do more progressive works that represent more of the community. And I think that's where I want to leave it.
Yeah.
Well said.
You've been listening to Respect the Dead, the podcast where we don't. There are a couple ways to support us.
Patreon supporters get bonuses like extended episodes with audio from the cutting room floor and adding cadavers to our suggestion cemetery.
Leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and we might read it out on the show. Follow Respect the Dead on all platforms at @_respectthedead.
Thanks so much for listening. See you next Monday for another Worm Feast.
I'm Kaylin Conrad.
I'm Ailey Mandy.
And I'm Hoots. Bye.